Start over.
Okay, I mean, we've done the roll call. So we have Ruth, Alma, Brian, and Daniela currently present, and we're expecting Maria shortly.
Perfect.
So we can move on from there.
Okay. So then at this time, I will go ahead and open for public input. Yeah, come on up.
My favorite realtor right there. Retired teacher from Othello, Washington. I've probably had 1,000 kids in my life pass through my classroom. So my interest is kids. I want to talk to you about the neighborhood, the plan for the next neighborhood. I think you're planning in advance now for maybe what's going to go out across from Walmart. And there was conversation about what to do about the money that's to be set aside for park, whether to put it into another park we already have in Othello or just have a little park. And I know the money was intended to always have a little neighborhood park, but in lieu of that, you could put it into another park. And so what I want to do is encourage you to not put it into another park, but create a park-like setting in that neighborhood. It's right on Cunningham, big wide road, black tarmac. And we don't want our city to be block after block, grid after grid of tarmac cement and one house after another. We want to create beauty. And in my younger days, I, like some of you, you're having your younger days, I used to be a world traveler. London, Paris, Quebec City, Timișoara, which is Romania, all these cities created little pockets of beauty. So you would be walking along five blocks along in a neighborhood and boom, right there, out of nowhere, someone set aside just a block of green grass trees, benches, maybe a water feature and swings. And when I look at the neighborhoods in Othello and I think about the times we put our money into another park just to not have to build a park and maintain it, I've done the logistics in my head, and I know that so many times it's been near a school. So you have that provision that kids can walk from the neighborhood to the school. But there's no park benches at the school. And so, and I've seen this as a teacher at Scutney and Wahidas, that when the parents do come after hours and on the weekends, there's no place for them to sit. So the kids are on the big toy, the kids are on the swing, and the parents are standing there with their arms folded. So it's not a substitution, although it does, you know, it's like the poor uncle. It's better than nothing. And so I think it's really important to create those pockets of beauty. I think it's really important to, you don't have to make it big, think small. Just the other thing is, what was I gonna mention? Oh, a sense of neighborhood. So when you have a neighborhood park, like the French people do, like I discovered at Quebec City, which is also French, I was there, they had a splash pad. Walla Walla has a little fountain that kids are allowed to play in. What happens is the people from that neighborhood come and sit and they get to know each other and they get to know each other's kids, and it makes the neighborhood less, well, you know how it is in modern days. You can, it's without, we used to have block parties. We used to know each other and we just don't anymore. But when you have a little neighborhood park, you do get to know each other and the moms get to know each other. They bring their perambulators, they bring their little push carts with their kids, and you've got your dogs. It just creates a sense of community. So I'd like to encourage the Planning Commission to encourage the City Council to not put the money in a pot. Put the money in a neighborhood park. So that's what I came to say.
Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you so much for that. Anyone else? All right, seeing none, I'm going to go ahead and close public input at 6:06. And we will move on to approve the minutes for the April 15th meeting. Did everyone get a chance to go over those? Any comments, questions, concerns, guys? Nope. I'd entertain a motion. Anyone?
Make a motion to approve the minutes.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Minutes approved. Okay, and you want to kind of open us up into the zoning for the home occupation? Is that what we want to go into next?
Yes.
Okay.
So we visited this a few times, never quite got through with it, but it has come up recently. Someone wants to do a barbershop as a home occupation, which is something the Planning Commission had talked about as being an appropriate use in a home, but it's currently prohibited. So that was kind of the push to bring this back to hopefully finish it off. So I did a draft based on the discussions that have been held in the past. So I'm hoping we could go over that, see how it is compared to what you had in mind. I would especially want to focus on the list of prohibited uses. So it's very useful for code enforcement to have a list of uses that are actually prohibited. So we want to make sure that we don't have anything in there that shouldn't be prohibited and that they make sense. I just left the ones that were in there other than the barbershop, beauty shop. I took those out. I added retail because it said elsewhere in the code, it said retail wasn't allowed. So I put it in there. And then the code enforcement officer brought up pet grooming. She said, if you're going to allow people to do, you know, people's hair, is pet grooming really that different? Mm-hmm. So something to think about. But like I said, I just left the list other than those two. I just left the list as it was, but I'd like you to take a look at that especially.
Okay. So the prohibited occupation, is that where we start down on page 10 of the packet?
Yeah, we can start there and kind of work backwards.
Okay. Or wherever you think would be great to start. I mean, so for prohibited occupations, it looks like we've got retail sales, kennels, stables, animal hospitals, pet grooming, real estate offices, restaurants, medical and dental clinics, vehicle repairs, paint services and renting, welding and metalwork, cabinet carpentry, paint shops, mortuaries, private or nursery schools, and private clubs. Is there anybody have heartburn over that or anything we feel like we should add to that?
Can I give an overall philosophy?
Yeah.
My thoughts on this, my first thought is the libertarian in me says, it's America, you know? That's my first thought. My second thought as the planning commissioner is, yes, but we have to have parameters, right? And so I parking, what, you know, traffic coming in and out are issues I'm having, and then also signage, because it's residential, right? So it's meant to be a resident. So those are my three issues that I'm thinking of right now: parking, traffic, and signage that we need to be kind of overall as we're looking at these different business options, like, okay, well, how is that going to, is it a lot of traffic? Is there enough parking? Do they have enough parking? And what's the signage going to look like?
Okay. I want to say, I think the last time we talked about this, we talked about allowing one vehicle per appointment. Does that sound correct to anybody?
Sounds familiar, yeah.
Right? We talked about it just being one vehicle.
We talked about it a lot. I don't know if I knew for sure if it had been.
How are we feeling about that? Are we wanting to limit it to one vehicle if it's not in there now? Or do we want to limit? Because I know we did limit to one appointment at a time. So you can't run multiple appointments. But did we decide ultimately to do one vehicle per appointment?
Existing language in 080, a little bit above the prohibited part. No traffic shall be generated by such home occupation in greater volume than would normally be expected in a residential neighborhood. Any need for parking generated by the conduct of such home occupation shall be met off the street and other than in a required front yard.
Okay, how's everyone feeling about that?
I'm still trying to figure out what page you guys are on, because mine says 103, but that says 132.
Page 10 of the 132.
But I only have 103.
Did you?
It was already on here. I'm trying to go back to the calendar. to open the right PDF.
I'm fine with how that reads, that it's not more than normal. I mean, it's kind of vague, but.
Do we have concern of it being too vague, maybe, as far as what someone might think is acceptable versus what their neighbor might think?
I would think that code enforcement would have a problem with. I guess they would have the discretion
to use it. I'm okay with that.
Do we have a lot of already established licensed businesses at home?
I think so, but we haven't had a good way to track them, so I can't actually tell you that.
I mean, I agree with Brian. I'm okay with the verbiage being a little vague because that leaves it up to code enforcement to decide. Each neighborhood's a little different anyways, so what parking might fit in one neighborhood might not work in another. I think that works. Daniela, did you find where we were?
I pulled it up in my email. This one is not the right attachment. So what's the question?
So we want to make sure that if you go to page 10 of the packet where it says traffic and parking restricted, we want to make sure that these home occupations don't bring in what is considered outside the norm of traffic for the area.
But if we're keeping it to one client or whatever at a time, one customer at a time, they can't drive two cars.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I guess it might be.
I can see it's two.
It's a couple. Maybe they're considered one client. Maybe.
Maybe two cars at most if you're doing one appointment at a time.
I think it would just depend on the location. Some streets you're going to only have one vehicle be able to park, and other places you have a street worth of area.
Yeah, and the type of business too
generate. So what we're seeing here is that they would have to be able to park off the street in their own, like a special driveway or. And at some point it starts looking commercial. I don't know. But.
Yeah, it does. I worry about allowing on-street parking though during their business hours, because then are they going to start parking in front of their neighbors across the street and then create a nuisance?
I mean, it's going to happen,
right?
But at least we have something in writing to try to enforce that if it becomes a problem.
Are we saying that would normally be expected in a residential neighborhood that the code enforcer would define that?
Yeah. Because I think it would be easier too, because like we were saying, what's normal in our neighborhood might not be what's normal for Hemlock or Elm Street or Hamlet. I'm okay with it if everyone else is. I think the verbiage for the parking restriction is adequate if everyone else is okay with that.
Yeah.
Okay, and then I know we didn't really decide how did we feel about the prohibited occupations.
So why don't you cross off, we're proposing to remove that?
Because, we're going to put those on the allowed.
So we're not actually going to have a list of allowed ones.
We're just going to have a list of restricted.
Prohibited ones.
Okay.
Yep.
So private or nursery schools. That's not a daycare, or is it?
Okay.
Are you talking about number 14?
Yes. Because a lot of people watch kids at their house.
That's different.
Okay, that's okay.
Daycare is different than a school.
Looking at this earlier, I did have a question. Does this interfere at all with homeschooling, the way we have this set up? Mm-hmm. Because I know, like, I've talked about it just with, like, my sister-in-law about homeschooling our kids at some point. Which obviously we never did, but it was, you know, at the
But
time,
would
and
you
we would
do it
do
as
it
a
together.
business? It wouldn't be a business, right?
I wouldn't think so, but I mean, would that be a possibility? I mean, should we specify that we do or don't want that? Because I do know a handful of people who homeschool, and I know that they homeschool like in groups, like little communities.
Co-ops.
Yeah, yeah. So are we saying we don't want that or we do? I mean, what is everyone else's opinion on homeschooling and possibly doing it like Ruth said, like a co-op? Do we want to be specific enough?
No.
I just don't feel like that would be a business. And so,
okay.
So then it would just be allowable
that's
the way
true.
That it is.
So then, you know, it would be not regulated under this if it's not a business.
Okay. I was just thinking about it when I was looking at the list earlier and I thought, ooh, maybe homeschooling when we say private or nursery schools, does that fall under that?
I mean, if you have a business where you're, you know, offering instruction, that would be one
it's
thing.
School. Yeah.
But.
And that would be classified like private school, right?
That would be a private school.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if we're allowing beauty parlors, why are we not allowing pet grooming?
I agree. I think we should allow pet grooming.
Too.
I think they're too similar of a
same
business
thing,
style.
Different species.
Probably less chemicals.
Mm-hmm. And probably quicker appointments. Any other input as far as what we're restricting? Anything you feel we need to add to it, guys?
So we're crossing off pet grooming, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with that list.
So I also was looking, and I know we talked about having like the purpose, like a motto sort of for what the home occupations were going to be. Did we ever get that clarified as to what we wanted that to say?
Actually, I see that I added it in and I didn't underline it, but that 005 section
okay.
was what
the
had
purpose.
Been discussed before. So I guess read that over, make sure you're okay with how it is.
So our purpose says home occupation provide residents with the option to use their residence for small scale business activities while guaranteeing all residents freedom for excessive noise, traffic nuisance, fire hazard, and other possible effects of commercial use in residential neighborhoods. And I know we all had a lot of heartburn about making that too wordy. So how do we feel about the way that it reads now?
It's fine.
I like it.
I think it's very thorough.
Whoops, what happened?
Do we need to define small scale?
That's a good question.
Well, I think with the traffic and parking, we kind of force it.
That's true.
Oh, there it is. Must only allow one customer appointment at a time.
So I
number seven.
Added that in mm-hmm. That had been discussed before.
Perfect.
Oh, nice.
And then signs I'm looking for where it talks about signs.
Yeah, I know that.
Okay, 050. So this is in the existing code where it allows one sign not exceeding 1 square foot in area, non-illuminated, mounted flat against the wall of the building. I know we had considerable discussion about this
mm-hmm.
previously,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't remember that any changes were proposed. I mean, we talked about bigger, we talked about smaller, but I think we ended up back at 1 foot after all of mm-hmm. that discussion.
I think the 1 foot is yeah. probably going to be the only thing that doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. Everyone okay with that?
Mm-hmm. thinking of a daycare that has Mickey Mouse all over it. A lot bigger than 1 foot.
There is a daycare on our street that has huge,
really big sign.
Yeah.
And I don't have a problem with that.
It's not lit up, so it's nice that it's not a nuisance because it's not flashing while you're walking through. But yeah, I've seen some pretty big signs.
Is it in a home or is it a standalone?
Home.
It's in a home.
Mm-hmm.
It's right above the garage, so it's like pretty big. I never thought about the look of it until just now.
It's big, but I don't think it's like nuisance. I'm thinking the same one you're talking about. It is a big sign.
Yeah, it's mounted flat against the wall. It's not illuminated. It's just the size. That's the only thing.
Mm-hmm. Would current signage be grandfathered in, or would they?
Well, that part isn't changing, so they're out of compliance with the existing.
Oh, right now.
Oh, as is. Okay.
Okay.
I'm okay leaving it the way that it is if everyone else is, unless there's... Okay, I know those were all of Brian's concerns. Did anybody else have any other concerns as far as what the home occupations might bring to our neighborhoods? Bob, did you have something? Sorry. Yes, I think we talked about no employees for this. Of the packet? Okay. Page 21 of the packet, is that where we had the previous minutes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Looks like I can't find it.
Third paragraph
of the bottom. Six. Having like a lawyer, you have like a computer or something like that. But I think you read this stuff and make sure.
That's what we went with, yeah. Just clarify. That is a good point, though, because, I mean, a lawyer, that would be an allowed business. That would fall under the guidelines as far as one client at a time, so they wouldn't be a nuisance to the area.
The third one on page 21 of 132, or 5.
Page 5 of the minutes.
Of the minutes, yeah.
And the packet, though, you should be page 21, Brian.
Yeah, the one attached in the... city calendar is not the right.
That's the one that I'm using as
well. That's the one I'm using too. Are you using the first email she sent you? Didn't have everything
I'm able
in
to
it.
Follow along in the email.
Oh.
But on the calendar, it's the 103, not 132.
It should be okay up through the end of the subdivision stuff, because that's where I added.
That's okay. I already got it on my phone.
Okay.
And can you go up to where the code itself shows no? I didn't see what code that was or how it read.
I think it says part number one. No person other than members of the family residing on the premises shall be engaged in the business.
And then we said, and then in the minutes where Bob is talking about it, says discussion on whether a non-resident employee should be allowed. It felt that some businesses suitable for home occupation may need an outside employee, such as a bookkeeper or secretary.
That you did actually vote on it.
Did we? Okay.
And voted against adding one, but certainly you're free to, that's not binding, but that's
right,
just
right,
what I wrote
right.
it based on. So you're certainly free to discuss it some more.
Is it down in the minutes where we voted? Why did we say why we voted
right
that
after.
Way?
So that next paragraph.
Okay, let me look. I think we didn't want to burden the outward appearance of it being, am I understanding that correctly?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't want to burden the outside appearance. Yeah, all consistently car. Having an extra vehicle there. I mean, I'm either or leaving it the way that it is unless somebody feels like we should change it.
There's a rental house that has two or three vans and a garage full of, I don't know, boxes and boxes. And I've seen the push carts in front, so I'm assuming it's stuff for the push carts.
Mm-hmm.
There's at least six people that are living in that home. I doubt that they're all related.
Mm-hmm.
On the 7th?
Mm-hmm.
I hate to be restrictive as far as allowing someone to have a bookkeeper or secretary, but I still do worry about having those that external change to how it looks. So again, I'm kind of either or, whatever the rest of the commission feels.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You just said small scale related to the number of customers.
Yeah.
Small scale related to the employer and the business.
Right.
And I guess if you're worried about vehicles, I did see some codes that restricted, you know, the number of vehicles associated with the business, something, you know, you could regulate it
that way.
That way instead of employees, maybe.
Hmm.
What do you guys think? Instead of saying no employees, we could limit the number of vehicles. You know how we said just by appointment? We could just do number of vehicles. Mm-hmm. I mean, we could, I mean, this doesn't have to stay this way forever. We could put it in, pass it along. It could get approved the way that it is or not. And then maybe later, if it becomes a problem where home occupations are complaining that they can't have a, you know, like a bookkeeper or secretary, and that becomes problematic, we could revisit it.
But it's only going to be the neighbors that know.
Are going to notice. Mm-hmm. I mean, what do you think, Anne? What's your input? You deal with the public on a different scale than we do.
Does seem like there are uses that are potentially good as home occupations, but might have an outside employee.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I do see the issue with the extra vehicle parking.
So it's not necessarily the extra employee. The issue is just like you said, the vehicle, another car. So, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, besides a lawyer, what small business, I mean, what type of occupation would bring in the need for a bookkeeper or secretary?
And aren't most of those things going to be
so large that you even need a secretary or a bookkeeper? Yeah. Because the whole idea is small scale, right? And I don't know, what do you guys think?
I think we should focus on the parking. It doesn't matter how many employees they have, they all
have. So one appointment at a time, and if you can keep it off the road and you're not a nuisance, just leave it as is.
Because I don't think the nuisance is how many people are in the house, it's how many
cars are outside.
So I think we just focus on that.
That's what's going to affect the neighbors.
Yeah. So I think we just focus on vehicles or parking. But again, how do you restrict from 2 to 4 in one area or
another.
And then how do you know if
so then
the code enforcer is like, oh, that's a resident car, not a customer car. Yeah. You know what I mean? They're not going to know.
It's my three. That's my third car.
They're not going to know. Yeah. I mean, really, it's just until it becomes a complaint by a neighbor.
I'm okay with leaving the ordinance written the way that it is.
Yeah.
No employee. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And let's just see how it plays out, I guess.
We can address small scale later if need be.
Yeah. Okay. What small scale is after the fact. Yeah, I agree. Okay, where were we, guys? Hey, Anne, was there anything else that you wanted us to revisit in this?
I added no outside storage. I believe that was something we discussed. It's something that comes up in a lot of codes. I felt like that was kind of an important part of making it be to fit into the neighborhood. Heather had a question about, does that mean they couldn't use a shed? And I said, to me, that wasn't outside. Yeah. Outside means uncovered. And I looked at some other codes and they talked about unenclosed outdoors when they were talking about storage. And so I feel like just calling it outside storage without defining it, I think we're okay there.
Okay.
So regarding storage, there was a large building, like garage, built on a home for one of the big stores. And they were told that they couldn't store their items there. And so they had to build another storage, the red across on 7th. I'm not familiar with what happened there other than other people are saying that their people are using their garages to store things. And why is that okay now when these others were made to build a large building? Was it because of maybe semis dropping off large amounts of things?
Are you talking about
14th? I think 14th after the hospital at the corner there. I don't know what that cross street is.
Eleni's. It's the house used to be owned by Tagaris's pilot.
I don't know.
That big shed that's out there.
Well,
or the big garage, like detached garage thing.
It's not detached. Maybe it is.
It's detached.
It's a big shop.
Yeah, like almost like a semi shop.
I mean, they've talked to me. Their frustration is they were given a permit to build it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there was no discussion on what the use was. I don't know. But they were given the permit to build it. And then when they started to use it for their store, then they were told, you can't do that. I was like, well, why we build it? So they had nothing to do with the red building.
Mm-hmm.
Totally different people.
So why is using their garage to do the same thing on a smaller scale? Well,
I think the problem there would be that their storage is for retail, and that would not be an allowed home occupation.
So retail?
I don't know if we decided push carts were retail or not, or what we ended up deciding. I think they were their whole own category of.
Yeah,
that's
so its own category.
It's its own category, right?
Category.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But now that you say that, I'm thinking about the storage issues. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, because their license wouldn't be for home occupation. Their license would be for their business at a different location.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that maybe is what the problem is, that the home itself isn't licensed for the occupation to hold those goods. I'm assuming that's probably what the problem is. I don't know, Anne, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm thinking that's probably what's causing the issue. Bob, you have some insight on that? Yeah, agreed. That's not small scale. Prohibited. Mm-hmm.
To begin with.
Yeah. Yeah. So then for going back to storage, are we saying, do we not want them to be able to use external storage at all? And I know that's how it's written here, but I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page with that still.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think we could know, just like the customers, how many people are inside, what's inside their it could be a home resident getting a storage and they put other things in there. We don't know what's inside. So as long as they get a storage that's permitted by the city to go with their house, then they can put in there whatever they want. That's my 2 cents. I don't know.
Because if someone puts up a shed, they have to get a permit for it, don't they?
Unless it's really small.
Unless it's really small.
Okay. Under 200 square feet. I guess that's not super small. But
do you feel like this is going to create a problem if we don't put some more clarification on this? If down the road, home occupations want to put those small sheds out there?
You know, you're allowed to do a shed at your house.
Right.
So
okay.
If you choose to store your lawnmower in it, if you choose to store your stuff.
Whatever you want. So just leave it the way that it is. I'm just looking for what would be easier for Heather on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Fine with it?
It's okay. Yes, it is.
So I added that here that it can be carried on within a residence or accessory structure.
And I think we changed that after the ADUs were put into effect, because I think when, I don't think they were quite yet when we had that previous meeting, right? Yeah. Okay, perfect.
So that could be an ADU, that could be a detached garage, it could be a shed.
As long as they're fitting through all the permits and everything's lining up good, I don't think it's a problem.
And so number six, this language that I added about noise, vibration, that was just in a different section. And I just moved that here so that it's all together. All the I wanted all of the regulations, you know, all
the requirements
to be in one spot instead of scattered throughout it. I added this about the parking or storage of construction equipment or large vehicles, because it has come up. People want to do a trucking business. They want to store their truck at their house. And we tell them no, but I want it to be very clear. No, you can't store your house. You can't store your backhoe.
That's happening in Windsor Point right now. That's Windsor Point, right by Coventry House. There's a lot of that happening right now.
Well, I like that clarification, though, because there are some people who would consider their one semi a small-scale business. And they're running one semi, they're licensed in business, so yeah.
And we do, you know, we do let people do that as a home occupation, but they have to have a different place to store their truck.
Parking location. Okay, I like it.
And same with construction contractors. We get quite a few of those that we allow them to do their business, but we don't let them store their construction equipment at their house.
At home.
They have to have a different place to store it.
Perfect.
In this section, I added about being required to comply with home occupation, just to make it easier for Heather to write a ticket to someone for not complying.
Okay.
She wanted it to say you actually need a home occupation license. So that's what I was trying to do there. And then I added a line that conditions can be placed. Because if we don't say that in the code, it's a little shaky in whether we can actually put conditions. But if we spell it out that we can, then we can.
Okay.
We talked about the, well, actually, we didn't talk about this. So
we're removing what we considered permitted and letting it fall in the guidelines?
Yes, rather than saying these are allowed, because there are many other things that could be allowed. So it just seemed cleaner just to, instead of making your list longer and longer, let's just say pretty much if you fit the parameters, you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And also some of these seem kind of dated as far as the uses. And here's that no person other than members of the family, I move that up to that other section. This next section, 040, the clearly incidental subordinate that's already covered in the previous section. The 30% of floor area, you had discussed that before and decided you didn't want to try to regulate how much of the house they were using.
Mm-mm. I think that makes enforcing it way too hard. I like how it's less wordy. I think Daniela used that at the last time we talked about it. And it is definitely less wordy. It's very easy to follow along with.
I was trying for that.
Yeah, no, I think you did great.
Accessory buildings, I did move that up into that first section. Retail sales, I put that under prohibited. Traffic, we discussed and left it alone. Here's that noise and interference section that I moved up and then prohibited. So with the changes that you discussed, can I bring this back to you next time for a public hearing and a recommendation to council?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think okay. So. Do we need to make a motion on that, or are we okay because it's still in draft? Perfect. Okay, let's see. What do we have next on our agenda? Okay, subdivision, guys. Our favorite. I think that starts on page 23 of the packet. Okay, and do you want to kind of lead us into this a little bit? Kind of where we left off and what you're still needing from us.
Sure. So I know it's a huge thing to try to look at, and I have made a lot of changes. We're getting quite a bit closer to being done with it. So I tried to, in the staff report, I tried to make you a chart kind of showing where we're at and trying to flag the things that still need to be discussed. I don't want to discuss definitions till we're about done.
Okay.
In the new chapters, there's just a few things I need to figure out.
What would be ideal for us to work on today to get you further in what you need to get done?
Okay. So that would probably be, so design standards. Let me find you the page. So the part about neighborhood streets and block lengths, because I edited that. But let me find you based on the discussions that you had.
Mm-hmm.
So that is going to be ~100.
Okay.
You had wanted to talk about some traffic. You wanted some traffic calming language added in. And so that's what I was trying to do here at the top.
Okay.
I didn't know if you wanted to call out anything other than the curbs specifically. So it's kind of open for discussion if we want to talk about raised crosswalks, you want to talk about the traffic circles.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Are those things that you would want on a brand new street? Would you want someone to build a brand new street and then put up the little diamond things?
Right, themselves as part of the
right
development.
Away.
Okay, so I know when we did the traffic safety plan, we wanted to get that done first because we wanted to, when we got to subdivisions, talk about should we encourage the developers to just put those in, if I remember correctly, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that now this is the time. So if we didn't do those things, if we didn't have the developer put them in, then would the city have to go back later and do it?
If we decide that
it didn't follow,
speeds are too
because with it
fast.
Now being an ordinance, right? Because it is in the city code, the traffic safety, or are we implementing that where it's needed? How is the city kind of phasing out that traffic safety plan we made?
Kind of as needed and as directed by the council. For instance, they had wanted 4th Avenue, something done about 4th Avenue. And so then that's when the speed humps were put in.
Mm-hmm. Because I also worry if what we do here today with that, will that cancel out what we were trying to accomplish with our traffic safety and pedestrian safety?
I guess with new, when you're looking at new development, you can look at building the streets differently.
Mm-hmm.
The traffic safety plan, I think, was more geared toward existing streets. And what do you do okay. about existing streets?
Okay. I mean, just to kind of open the discussion up, I guess I like the idea of the raised intersection. And mainly, obviously, pedestrian safety. But I just had a child on my street about 3 weeks ago get hit in the intersection. Like my home camera caught the sound of it, and it was the most heart-wrenching thing I have ever heard. So for me, I think raised sidewalks, that those raised intersections, I think definitely have to go in there when we talk about building new, because we have a problem in our existing as it is now. So I don't know how everyone else feels, but that's kind of where I'm leaning as far as what I think is the most necessary stuff in a new neighborhood.
And a raised crosswalk is almost like a speed hump.
Mm-hmm.
Almost same, really. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it kind of doubles.
Yeah. Please put that on 7th. Drag racing every night.
So bad. So bad.
So are we trying to list? Can we just end it where it says including traffic calming measures and just period there? Or do you want us to specify such as...
Exactly. Which items do we need to list like anything? That.
You don't need to list anything, yeah.
Okay.
Measures, period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That works.
Okay.
Next one I wanted you to look at was 210. So that's page 102.
Block links.
Block links.
So here we have it written as block links should not exceed, we've crossed out 12 and put 600 feet or be less than 300 feet. Shorter block links provide better connectivity and walkability and slows traffic by creating more intersections. Okay, so what are we needing to clarify here?
I added in, based on discussions that we had had, that if it's the block is longer than 600 feet, you would need basically a pedestrian walkway through that block, and a raised crosswalk. But then if you do that, who is responsible for dealing with that extra sidewalk that's between lots?
Is it what you're saying?
Who weeds it, who shovels it, who mm-hmm. fixes it when the sidewalk needs to be replaced. So that's kind of the problem with those mid-block
right.
Intersections
or little pedestrian paths.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we don't have any current anywhere in Othello that has anything like that?
So the only ones I can think of are in the Sagestone development.
Okay.
There's a couple of walkways that will go to the south, to the trail that will be there eventually. And those, the plat puts it on the adjacent lot owners to deal with that, which is, I mean, kind of the only thing you can do, mm-hmm. but...
we need to clarify that if that's what we want to do.
yeah, make sure that that is what you want to do.
But there's a short path going to the junior high between two homes. I'm trying to think who maintains that.
Yeah.
It might be the neighbors, now that you say
that. Oh, you know what? And there's also one in between the Palo Verde development that goes from the path behind Walmart. It connects right into the neighborhood. Do you? How does that one get taken care of? I mean, it would just be a good idea for us to kind of see what's already being done and maybe just go with that. Mm-hmm.
Look at those two to see what they say.
Okay. I mean, I would assume that it would just be the homeowners in the area. I mean, it's the same thing, you know, having to keep your sidewalk shoveled and clean and free of debris. I mean, I didn't put the sidewalk on, but it's mine to maintain after the fact.
And then the other thing is, I didn't put it here, but now I'm thinking about it, is the fencing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you restrict the fencing along those walkways? So there's pluses and minuses. So people want their backyard. They don't want people walking by and looking in their backyard.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you just have this, you know, hallway, that can be a little bit scary and unsafe. So what do you do?
I would lean more towards the homeowner and letting them have their fences up. The one at Palo Verde, they have their fences up on either side for their backyard.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that long of a stretch. It is really tight though. So if like there's two people, I mean, you got to hold back and let the other one through, but it's such a small little section of the walk path that I would prefer to lean towards the homeowner and let them put their fences up to have, you know, their own privacy. What do you guys think?
I agree. And then if someone doesn't feel safe walking there, then
maybe just don't use it. Yeah.
Don't go down there.
Yeah. And something I've seen in other codes is where they don't allow corners within that, so that a person in the walkway can be seen from both ends, because if they can't be seen, that creates more of a safety issue. If someone can be like out of sight, somebody could be hiding there to jump out at you,
right?
Or
so when you say, not so like where the fence is, instead of it being coming to a 90, it just slopes off?
No, that you make the pathway be straight rather than allowing it to have turns in it.
Yeah. I'm okay with putting that in. I mean, I think it gives everybody a little bit of something. The people walk in the path to feel safer, and the neighbors still get their fences.
Good compromise.
Yeah, right.
That's why you're in the chair tonight.
Don't get used to it.
Okay, trees.
Oh. Let's not all get heartburn at the same time, guys. Okay.
So I had to walk and get my car this afternoon, and I was just wishing for more trees.
It's hot, huh?
It's hot.
I know, I'm waiting for my little tree in the front yard to grow really big because it is not giving shade yet. So back in March of 21, the Planning Commission direction was that this provision should be removed and coordinated with the revision of the landscaping chapter. Oh, the landscaping chapter.
Which?
How does that read there, that 17.75? What did we... Are we going to find conflict between our landscaping and what we're going to have?
There's going to be a conflict. I don't mind duplicating it in both places if they say the same thing.
So I think you have it as 17.74.
So
residential right there? No?
Well, that's the front yard landscaping. And we've talked about who plants it. And the council has said the homeowner plants it. The developer does not need to plant it, but we have the problem of how do we make the homeowner plant it?
Because they have like a year according to the code, right?
Have a year.
Who has time to keep track of that? I feel like that's problematic.
That's why it doesn't get done. Yeah. So and most people eventually 14? Do a front yard, but the tree planting.
Which is the one on 14th, Brian? Which is the one on 14th?
You know, this one, you need a tree and you don't, or
yeah,
everybody needs a tree or
on the residential side.
I know that when we were talking about the landscaping chapter, we wanted developers to put in landscaping. I think we got shot down, didn't we?
Yes.
I feel like we're in the desert, and if it's not indigenous to this,
but you said would be
area
in the school, right?
That is,
they become problems. And it should be up to the homeowner to make that decision whether they want a tree or not.
They have to have a tree.
It's a big responsibility.
By code, every house has to have a tree in the front, right? Is it the front or just on the property?
I don't know if it's the homeowner that's supposed to maintain it.
So it's not necessarily every house.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Can we require one tree per lot?
Maybe that would be a better way to do it.
And I have a question. Who planted the trees on 14th on the residential side?
I believe that was a city project to put in all those trees.
And then maintaining it became the
city?
The resident? Oh, no, the city still maintains it.
I don't know.
Those trees on 14th get watered by city trucks every morning.
There's two that are dead. But I was just curious. I didn't know if it was a house.
No. That's supposed to maintain because the city waters those trees.
The rest look great. It's just these ones. So I was like, maybe it's some houses that are by those trees that are not watering it. But just curious on the ones on 14th.
Yeah. I like the idea of trees because it keeps things cooler.
Needs a lot of water.
But picking every other house is going to be, because it's about what it would measure up to be, wouldn't it? We said 75, no.
It's about every lot, roughly. I mean, it depends on how wide the lots are.
How they're cut up. I always feel like I'm so torn by this one. I love the idea of trees, but I hate what they do to the concrete. So it's like there's no winning when it comes to trees. I don't know, guys, what do you think? I think if we don't require any trees, I think we might regret that later.
I don't think we should require.
What's that?
I don't think we should require because it's like, do you want a child and have to raise that child? A tree is that big of a responsibility.
I disagree. I think neighborhoods need to have trees. I think it makes it feel a little more homey. I think it keeps the sidewalk from getting too hot, especially when people are out walking with their kids and the dogs. And I know we had that study, Anne, about how much the trees cool.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember which? I know that was a long time ago, like two or three years ago.
And the other one we specified when we talked about street trees, like
which ones were allowed and which wasn't or something like that.
And the distance between the home and the street and the sidewalk or something. Did we talk about that or no? Making stuff up.
I think that's where we came up with the 75 feet, right? When we did the landscaping.
Already
been there. Yeah, this, I knew this was going to come up and it was going to be a tricky one. You had to pick this one tonight, Anne.
We can.
No, I think let's give a little bit more input and then we'll move on. We don't have to decide tonight. Brian, how do you feel today about it?
I don't know. Kind of torn.
I mean, yeah.
What's the answer? I don't like forcing people to not do stuff or to do stuff, but
yeah.
But we want to encourage trees.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a tree in my front yard.
I have one and I'm waiting for it to grow.
I have one.
But are we saying it has to be in the front yard or just saying on your lot in general?
If we wanted to be provide benefits to the street, then it would need to be in the front yard.
Oh, Daniela.
That's so
huge. She said touche. I'm so glad that went on the record.
I'm just going to eat my chips, okay?
Maria, how do you feel about requiring trees?
Kind of feel the same.
Hard.
Yeah, it's hard. Because, I mean, you do want the neighborhood to be nice, but then again, what it's going to do to not only the cement, but what if it starts going into the pipelines and all that stuff?
So, sewer line.
They will. At some point, you're going to have to get the tree trimmed, taken out, and plant another one.
That is just picking the right tree.
Mm-hmm.
And some trees are much more likely to get into sewers, and those aren't even allowed in near the street. So
if it's a big word, if we decided to go forward with requiring trees, could we include a list of what is friendly for this area? Would that be, if we're going to require them, at least be as helpful as possible.
Tell me how to plant it, because.
When you buy a tree, they come with directions. I just learned this when I got my tree.
I don't have a green thumb,
It tells you how to measure it all out.
So in the landscape code 1774, there's a list of recommended trees for along streets.
Okay. So we could just copy and paste that if we decided to go forward with trees.
Or we could just reference it.
Reference it. Okay.
So there's approved trees, discouraged trees, and prohibited trees.
Okay.
Not that it's bigger.
Trying to think how we can encourage it without forcing it.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't like forcing it, but I want to encourage it.
Me too.
It'd be a bonus. Can my property taxes go down a little bit?
I kept the sidewalk cooler for 6 months of the year. without it being a business, I don't know how we would encourage it in the residential.
Yeah.
Unless we require the developer to put it in, and then again. Is that a nuisance a developer is going to want to take in? They already, when we got a lot of resistance for requiring landscaping, are we going to be in the same boat requiring the developer to put in trees?
Oh, absolutely. No question.
Because that would be a great way to everybody get what they want. If you don't want to put the grass in, that's fine, but maybe have the developer put in the tree. Maybe. I mean, what do you guys think?
We're just talking new construction.
Yes. And we're just talking the tree, not the grass.
Something has to be the developer.
Right?
And I resist saying that out loud. But
I know.
But I've been proven wrong many times. Remember, I fought for that.
I know you did.
But I was proven wrong.
It's okay. We got shot down anyway, so you won still in the end.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. It didn't make it through.
I have a developer that I represent in Connell. And not required. He's automatically putting in a full front yard, underground sprinklers, one tree. And it looks really nice. And his purpose, because he wants his development to look nice, mm-hmm. right from the beginning, right when people, and then they have to do their own backyard. But I really appreciate that. I thought that was very...
Especially the homeowners, and,
but
too.
Yeah, it's also a business decision for him because he wants it to be a popular and a pleasant development. So.
Maybe we go that route. We're not necessarily saying landscaping. We're just saying maybe the tree every 75 feet. And non-nuisance trees. I feel like maybe it needs more discussion, though. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it's a tricky one.
Maybe next time we can take a couple hours and talk about it.
So then we want to decide now?
Kind of.
We could. We could just decide now if everybody feels like they know which way they want to go, unless you guys want to sleep on it till next month.
The decision is if we want to make it a requirement to put a tree in your front yard.
And then who are we going to require to do it? Because the code currently is written, you have a year.
Homeowner,
and it's up. You have 1 year once you occupy the home. Yeah. So this would specifically apply to?
If forced to make a decision, I would lean towards not forcing the homeowner. And maybe we do a little campaign. Trees are awesome.
I like it.
But if we put it on the developer, because a tree on every house is kind of a lot of trees, overkill, right? So back to your point of the 75
every feet. Every 75 feet.
That would initially begin with the developer? Or how does that?
I think it also is going to matter how he cuts up his subdivision too. Because it might not be every house depending on just how his neighborhood design.
So the
and then it
older
becomes
part of Othello, those lots are 50 feet wide, which is pretty narrow by current standards.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you could theoretically do a new subdivision with those kind of widths. Like Sand Hill, those are more like 60 or 70 feet wide. So that's almost the 75 feet.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost one per
house.
Per yeah. house.
So could we change it for subdivisions or do we need to leave it at 75 feet?
Can always recommend changes.
I mean, how would we feel about every other house? Too far apart?
By the developer.
Too far apart for gain, maybe, would be the problem, and I also, think.
You know, because they don't just build this one, you know, it's mm-hmm. this one, and then that one, and then that one, and, you know, we'd have to, I guess we could keep track of
how they're doing
what's
it.
Neat trees and which ones don't, but it would be more complicated.
So sticking in the 75 feet makes it easier to keep track of.
I kind of like one per house. That just makes it really easy for me.
Wow.
And that's what the developer is doing. When every front yard has a tree.
Yeah. And then if we stick to the not nuisance trees, I mean, they shouldn't have any issues with them.
Or minimal.
Yeah, very minimal.
I was just saying every other house because it goes back to the choice of the buyer, right? I do want a tree. I don't want a tree. So you have some kind of flexibility to say I have a choice here if I want a tree or don't. Or I want a kid or not. Whatever. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't care either or, like I said, but trying to have the incentive or the decision or, you know what I mean, to...
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I understand that it would be difficult to keep track of. So initially, it would come down to the builder to decide mm-hmm. a plan that says if this house will have a tree in their plan. I don't know.
I'm going to poke your brain. With the developer that you represent, does he have people who complain about having their landscaping done and their tree?
No, they're very happy.
Are they? How long has he been doing that for?
3 years.
And no complaints? Okay. I just want peace of mind deciding which way I go. Will I make someone
when they drive in and they see all these front yards and their uniform, you mm-hmm. know, that people have been very happy.
I mean, I really am okay with saying the developer puts in one per lot. I mean, we are talking specifically subdivisions here, so it's not like we're going to go back and require all of Othello today to do this. I mean, I am okay with it unless someone changes my mind, but I just feel like that is going to also create a lot of consistency with what you already see in most of Othello. I mean, if they don't have a tree in the front yard, they have one in the backyard or two or three of them. So I don't know what everyone else thinks, but that's kind of where I'm at.
What do you mean the consistency?
Consistency with what Othello looks like now?
If we...
Because we're talking subdivisions are like for... What?
If we make one tree requirement?
Yeah. So for subdivisions, one tree per lot and the developer puts them in. No landscaping, just the tree.
developer be required to do irrigation? Or no.
I don't think so. I think that's too much.
And you're going to have a dead tree. I promise you.
Hopefully they don't put the trees in until they've got a buyer.
You're going to have a dried twig in the middle of that yard.
I don't know.
I'd rather they have the landscaping than the tree.
I know, but we got shot down on that. We tried.
What'd you say?
My opinion.
The landscaping. I preferred the landscaping be put in too. I really just feel like it would have been easier on the homeowner altogether. I mean, we could revisit this in a couple months and decide it was a stupid idea and get rid of it altogether. Who knows? I hate trees, Anne.
Except you like trees.
I like trees.
Okay, so the last thing that I wanted to talk about tonight, and maybe you'll say we need to postpone this, but was the reimbursement chapter. So the city attorney looked at our existing one and he said that it was okay. Let me find it. I find it like hard to read.
Ooh, Daniela is the queen of hard to read things.
What?
No. I really kind of like the Kent ordinance that he recommended that I'd look at. I just felt like that was really straightforward. So I sent that to you, but I know with 132 pages,
I'm not gonna lie. I don't think I even got to subdivisions when I was trying to go over the packet. I made it through home occupation.
Got through home occupations tonight. That's awesome.
I did.
So maybe that can be an assignment for next time to look at that. Our reimbursement chapter and then the Kent one, which I think is called latecomer agreements, which is just another way to say the same thing.
So before I get into reading all of this, can you just give me like a rough summary of what is included in this so that when I'm home rereading it, I'm making sure I'm understanding it correctly.
Okay. So do you want to talk about like what a reimbursement agreement is?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. What is it currently?
So what that means is when a developer has to put in, say, a new sewer line that other people will eventually benefit from. So say it's to put it across other people's property, other people eventually benefit from that. So, but the developer fronts the whole cost of putting it in, but he wants to get paid back by other people once they connect to it. So then he would file a latecomer agreement or a reimbursement agreement so that when somebody else is ready to connect, they pay for their share of that connection. And then the city collects that and gives that back to the developer.
Okay.
So that's kind of the short version of what that is. Can be for water, sewer, or streets.
Okay.
I mean, there's a whole process under the state law. You have to hold a public hearing or at least ask people to hold a public hearing. You have to notify everybody who's in that benefit area. Here's what it's going to cost when you connect or when you, you know, use the street. And it's the council that ultimately decides whether it should be approved or not.
So what parts of this are needing, is the entire thing itself needing a revision, or are there parts of it that are conflicting that we need to focus on?
I don't know. I have trouble reading the existing one. It just doesn't, it's very wordy and bureaucratic. The process is kind of weird. I felt like in the existing code, it doesn't flow clearly, but
So we want to shorten it up. Okay.
But we could, I mean, if other people look at it and think it seems okay, then
just. I mean, it just looked like that's why I'm like, give me the shorthand, because I'm looking at this and I'm already feeling overwhelmed looking at just the purpose.
Right. So maybe, you know, like start with, read the Kent one first.
What page is the Kent one?
So that's near the end. That is what page is it? It's 116.
16. Chapters provide. Let's see.
And we don't necessarily have to do this tonight. Maybe this would be better something to do, you know, for next time.
Yeah.
20 minutes are up.
Right. You missed it, Daniela. Before you got here, I told Brian we'd be done in 20 minutes.
I'm here for
it. Yeah, maybe. I do like how much shorter this is and how it seems like it's written in layman's terms, for a lack of a better way to describe what I'm looking at. I don't feel overwhelmed reading this one. Hmm.
And this was just recently adopted, so it's fresh.
Yeah. So is there anything from the Kent's purpose that wouldn't fit what our purpose or our code is? Could we just, I mean, I wouldn't like to, you know, copy and paste it, but as far as when you compare the two, is there stuff lacking from Kent's that we feel ours, we would need to add if we were going to adapt their version of the purpose?
I don't think so.
Okay.
And, you know, looking at other models and using them is totally okay.
Okay.
That's accepted practice. The definition section is kind of long, but
yeah,
definitions can be important. But then it tells you, okay, here's your application, what you do, how it goes. Here's what the city will do once you turn that in. The city sends out a notice and people get time to respond and ask for a hearing. And then you do the agreement. Then you build it, record the agreement, and then when somebody else connects, then they pay the city and the city pays the developer. This part, this took me a little while to figure out what this chapter, the segregation part, was about. But basically, if it's set up for a large parcel and then you subdivide that parcel, you have to ask the city how that gets divided, how that responsibility gets divided up.
Okay.
I felt like it was a lot clearer, but
I agree.
Sometimes when I look at our code, I just like don't even like the formatting. And so I struggle to read it.
Yeah, it is. Sometimes I'm reading it, I'm like, wait, what? Okay, let me go back and think of what this word means and then apply it to the entire thing I just read. So I do get overwhelmed reading our code sometimes. And yeah, just looking at this, it just feels better on the eyes. So then I think maybe our best bet would be to read the Kent one and then see how it compares to what we can understand from our current one and then shorthand it. How does everyone else feel about that little homework assignment maybe? Because I feel like with us not having an idea of what we even want it to look like, just because we don't,
we hardly talk about it. If you can read the Kent one and you can understand what it's trying to say, then probably just copy it over, just making the changes that fit
Othello's,
you know, Adams County instead of King County and
little things like that.
Yeah.
Would it be easier if we just read the adapted version in a draft at the next meeting? Or do you want to do that maybe?
And that, unless you want to look at it first and make sure that you think it's okay, or do you just want to
look at it first before we adapt it? Okay, yeah, we'll look at it first and see where we think maybe there could be a problem for Othello, and then
maybe I'll try to put that at the beginning rather than at the end.
Yeah, if you want us to read it, put it in the first at least 10 pages, because after that, I think we all start to go up. Okay, so then homework assignment for the next one. Is there anything else you need us to address in subdivisions before our next meeting?
I don't think so. I need to, the state has made a requirement that we address unit lot subdivisions, which is, as best I understand it, if you have, say, like a townhouse development where the lots are smaller than standard lots, we have to have some sort of a process for that.
Okay.
So I'm working on
adding that into the subdivision packet.
Because it is required now.
Okay.
Also, we needed to, I think I made my notes about what I needed you to look at, which I think we did. Oh, I guess let me just say, so open space chapter, we had talked about in the past having just a set fee rather than having it calculated. And the city attorney said, no, we can't do that.
has to be calculated?
We have to calculate, the fee has to be proportional.
To the subdivision size?
Everyone, yeah, and the location and it, so.
So we have to be very specific about what we want. Essentially, we can't just generalize it for everyone.
Yeah, so the way it's written now, a subdivision has to develop or dedicate 5% of the land for parks or a fee that's equivalent to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted just to say, let's do like $1,500 a lot or something. We can't do that. We have to.
Okay, so we have to leave it the way it is.
Do that. And I have to do the calculation each time of looking at what are the land values in the area and a pain. But
well, we tried.
We tried.
Okay. All right, guys, then is there anything we want to go over? I see there's some stuff for old business. Anything there?
I'm just leaving it on there because we talked about we wanted just kind of like reminders of what.
How are things going with the housing action plan? I know there was some talk about having another big meeting and possibly looking at other changes we could adapt, but I don't think that went anywhere.
There's just been too much other stuff
going
on. And actually, so next time we'll have the public hearing on the home occupations. We might be having a public hearing on non-conforming use chapter, and I have to look at changing, doing some updates to that. We might be looking at our street classification plan.
Okay.
So subdivisions might get shuffled down again.
I wouldn't be mad. My heart wouldn't be broken.
Right.
Okay. Anyone else have any input? Anything they'd like to address? Any input? Anything you guys like to add before we adjourn tonight? No? Everyone? Set? Oh, and I have, before we adjourn tonight, I do have one question from a citizen.
Yes.
They wanted to know, how does a right-of-way in an alley that is adjacent to a school work? As far as the direction of flow for the alley when it is being used by the school?
That sounds like a very specific question about a specific
alley
case.
So the alley is going to be the one right next to the junior high.
Mm-hmm.
That is also the drop off for the preschool. So part of the alley is paved and then the other half isn't. And there's really no flow of direction, but it has outlets that lead you right onto Ash. So how
can you probably talk to Public Works?
Okay. My question was just, is the school allowed to control the direction of traffic for that alley if it is a public alley or alley, is that not considered public? I guess was my question.
Whether it's public or not depends on how it was platted, how was it dedicated.
Okay.
And then using it, they should probably be talking to the city about how they're doing that.
Okay. It's just because someone was trying to go out on one of the outlets onto Ash and they were told they couldn't because they weren't allowed to, even though the outlet's built to be used in either direction.
Mm-hmm.
But they were told they couldn't, and then they had to turn their vehicle and go back around. So I just said I would ask.
And I don't have an answer.
So. And I didn't have an answer either, so I said I would try to find out. Okay, perfect. Thank you.
I'm going to shuffle that over to Public Works.
I'll send them that way. Okay, anything else from the commission tonight? Okay, I would now entertain a motion to adjourn tonight's meeting. Second?
Second.
Third.
Ayes? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, same sign? Hearing none, we will adjourn tonight's meeting at 7:27.
Perfect.
There, you're happy I usually got it.